Welcome to the VIP Suite, the podcast exclusively designed for independent beauty, health, and wellness professionals. Brought to you by Image Studios, the luxury leader in the salon suite industry. I'm your host, industry expert, and certified business coach, Matthew Landis. Each episode will bring you insightful interviews with solo entrepreneurs who forged their own path to greatness. From sharing inspiring stories of triumph to practical tips and strategies for growing your client base and building your brand, this is the place to thrive and take your business to the next level. Joining me today is Julie George of Rocket Science Salon in Laguna Hills, California, at our Image Studios there on the West Coast. Good morning, Julie.
Good morning, Matthew. I'm honored to be here with you this morning.
I'm so excited. Now, we met a few months ago and we've just kind of clicked.
I felt the same way. Actually, here's the funny thing. I knew when I was watching your videos that someday we would be somehow working together.
That's amazing. Yeah. And I felt it as soon as I met you.
Thank you.
And you've been in the industry for a while.
I've had my license for 36 years. And I went to beauty school while I was in high school.
Wow, that is, seems so lucky to me to have started out so early because I didn't start till I was 25.
I think you can look at that two ways. I went to beauty school while I was in high school, not because I actually wanted to do hair. I just wanted to leave high school at lunchtime. So it was really my stomach that brought me into this industry. And I thought that doing hair would be something that would get me through college. And then I would get a real job. And here I am 36 years later.
That is so funny because one of the reasons I went into hair is because I thought if I ever wanted to go back to college, I could make enough money and have the flexibility to do so.
You know, what I was going to say is I think you getting into the industry, I won't say a little bit later because 25 certainly isn't late, but I think when people do it later, sometimes people feel like they're behind, but I don't feel that way at all because I think at 25, you're much more mature. I feel like I repeated the same, my first year in this industry 8 times. So what I mean by that is that for 8 years, I was doing the same exact thing and I wasn't progressing because I was 18 and I was licensed and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to build a clientele. And I didn't have anybody guiding me. So I think when you're older, you're more open to mentors and you're more open to learning how to build your business.
Well, I'll tell you at 25, it was definitely a choice. And I had done a lot of other things that I hated. And so it really, for me, was a process of elimination. And I got on this and, you know, I've had the best time. I've made lots of money, had lots of fun. It's been the best decision that I ever made. So you said you started that first year 8 times. So what finally made it click?
I think what finally made it click was I was either going to continue struggling, having second jobs, or I was going to dedicate myself to this industry. And at that point, I got a job with Redken as an educator. That was the best decision I ever made. They literally taught me everything that I know.
I was an educator for L'Oreal Professional and their sister companies under the same umbrella. Mm-hmm. As a former educator, I also just love teaching and I love being able to find that sort of tribe of people with shared passion, shared interest for what they do.
I don't know if you remember back in the day when Salon Centric was Maley's and John Maley was the president and the owner. And because he had an accounting background, he helped us so much with business skills. You know, as I was developing my skills as a hairdresser, I was also getting the business skills. And then because of Redken, we had people like Michael Cole that was teaching us business. So it really was a great combination of both.
Tell me a little bit more about your current business.
I started here at Image Studios in Laguna Hills when they opened. I waited for, I don't know how long it took them to open, 6 to 8 months. So I was the first one to sign. And that was when I basically picked my suite from a drawing. Nothing was done. I'm a hairdresser and I specialize in color. Color is my favorite, but still I still do a lot of hair cutting.
How long have you been independent and what made you decide to go the independent route?
Well, that's an interesting story. So I owned my salon in Long Beach, California for 17 years and it was 2,000 square feet. I had at one time 23 people working there, 4 receptionists, 13 hairdressers, a couple manicurists, an assistant. And 3.5 months before COVID, I said, I don't want this anymore. I don't want to do this anymore. I was commuting 30 miles to work every day and I didn't want that commute anymore. And I just knew that it was time to sell. I was just so lucky that I sold the salon when I did. And I decided that I wanted to build my business close to home. I'm 4 miles from home, meaning that I'm 4 miles from my son, which makes it so much easier to be able to work. And So that was my reason for going independent. Not to be honest with you, at first, because I worked, you know, at a big salon, I thought, who am I going to talk to? Like, who am I going to talk to if I'm working by myself? And then a light bulb went on and I thought, oh, well, I guess I'm going to talk to my client. Imagine that. And you know, when you work in a salon, you're always interrupted. And as an owner, I was always interrupted. You know, it could have been, you know, this magazine subscription needs to be filled, or the air conditioner is not working, or the plumbing's not working. And now I get to completely focus on hair. It had been, you know, 17 years since I was able to do that. And I feel like I fell in love with doing hair all over again in a different way, because now I really am focused only on my client. I love it.
Wow. Our paths are so parallel. You know, I used to own a couple of salons. I had 50, 60 employees, 20 something chairs to locate, you know, all of that. And the most money and the most fun I ever had was as an independent, when I gave all of that up.
You had to give up your ego, right? Because I had to give up ego. There was a lot of ego in owning a salon.
Oh, 100%. In fact, speaking of ego, one of the things that really helped me get past all of it was listening to Eckhart Tolle's A New Earth, which is all about the ego. And it helped me realize, are the decisions that I'm making in my life and my career because they're good for me, or because they satisfy my ego?
Well, you're going to have to text me that, because I that's something I need to read.
I listened to the audiobook on a road trip. It was super helpful. Yeah, one of the things that really helped me through a hard time in my life was realizing that I just needed to focus on showing up every day for each client and doing a good job and connecting with each one of them. So I'm really glad that you said that, because I think that's so important. I think a lot of pros that are building their business sometimes are focused on external factors in building their business, like social media. And sometimes we lose sight of what's important, which is the client that is in our chair right now. Now, you said you sold your salon right before COVID, which is crazy. You must have felt something in the atmosphere.
I have to tell you, I didn't. I just say I had a guardian angel.
That's incredible. And you had to rebuild your clientele during COVID and out of COVID. Tell me about that.
I have to tell you that it's exciting for me to share with you. I want to say I feel incredibly grateful and thankful at how great my business. So I want to make sure that I don't come from a place of arrogance, that I'm coming from a place of being grateful and thankful. When I moved 30 miles away from my salon and my clientele. And I wasn't expecting, I mean, I knew a handful of those diehards would come, but I wasn't expecting to keep as many as I did. So for me, I had to not be afraid. First off, I had to not be afraid to sell my salon. I had to not be afraid to move 30 miles away. And I had to trust that I have all of the business skills that I need to build up again. We've all seen really good hairdressers that haven't made it. And when you look at, like, why are they not making it? They're so talented. And I think a lot of it is just because of their business skills. I know that if I just trust the process and trust what I already know how to do, and if I work it, that I was going to be okay. And I was going to do okay. Again, I wasn't starting completely from scratch because some of my people came. So now I have to get new people in the chair. So one of the things I did is I did do Yelp advertising. I think maybe I started at a perfect time, in the sense that during COVID, when we were open, a lot of hairdressers got out of the business. So if they were new, or if they were older, seasoned, I should say, and they were ready to retire, they left. They decided to get out. So what it created for me was a need for people needed a hairdresser. And so I started advertising with Yelp. And I think one of the best things that we can do is make sure that we're getting Yelp reviews. I know a lot of people use Google. I don't really use that. I use Yelp. Making sure that we're, you know, now getting those reviews for later will help us. The really interesting thing that I love about Yelp is you can turn your advertising on and off. So let's say you get so busy, you can turn it off or turn it back on. So let's say right now, if I have a slow day and I'm like, ooh, I've got a couple slow days, I just turn my Yelp advertising on. It gets booked, I turn it back on. You know, I've always had a love-hate relationship with Yelp. And I have to tell you, since I moved, it's more love than it is hate now.
That is really great advice, because a lot of our pros spend a lot of time on Instagram. And Instagram is great. But I always say Instagram is more like a portfolio. You need that referral first, and then somebody will go to your Instagram to see what it is you do. But what I love about Yelp and Google is they're more geolocated to where you are. You know, it's great if you're amazing on Instagram and you live in Salt Lake City, but if somebody in Boston is following you, it's not going to bring you business. But Yelp and Google and getting those reviews, and I love that you use the advertising, because that's something that I think a lot of people are curious about. What does that cost?
Well, you can set up your own budget. I believe maybe you can start at at 300. I started at 500 and I was consecutively getting about $2,500 in business back. But if I look at that $500 a month and the $2,500 that I was making back, it wasn't just that first visit. Now it's my responsibility to make sure that that client comes back. A lot of my business is still Yelp business. It just doesn't look like it because now I've been doing their hair for a while. But the original way that I received them was through Yelp. It was worth $500 to me. Again, I got to turn it off if I got too busy. And so, you know, now sometimes my Yelp advertising is $30 or $80 a month, depending on if I've had to turn it on or off.
You are speaking my love languages here. Thank because
actually, every there's new... one thing that you just brought up that I really wanted to touch on with, and that's Instagram. I was in one of your business classes actually, and you gave me a freedom, and I wanted to thank you for that because I don't do enough on Instagram. I have to be honest, and I always feel like I just have hundreds of pictures of things to post, but I work 6 days a week in the salon, and I'm busy, and so when I go home, I don't want to post. And so I was feeling like I'm not doing what I should be as a stylist. I'm not keeping up with the times. And you said, know your client. Like, who is your client? And I started to realize, like, my client is somebody who comes in every 4 to 6 weeks because they need to get a touch up or they need to get their hair highlighted. And so my client maybe isn't on Instagram as much. And so I realized that, you know, it's good for me to have that presence, but it's not necessarily where my business is coming from. And so I really wanted to thank you. Like I said, it gave me a freedom that I don't have to feel guilty that I'm not on social media that much.
Thank you so much for saying that. It is so important to know who you're marketing to and focus your energy there instead of comparing yourself to other people and beating yourself up for not being good at Instagram, for example.
And then the other thing I realized is I was taking pictures of some balayage. I have to tell you, I really don't like to do it. And I'm like, why am I posting this beautiful work, but I don't like to do it? I realized that, you know, I love cutting short hair. So if you go to my Instagram, I have very little short hair. If I were to have one goal for this year, it is to start posting both on Yelp and on Instagram work that I want to do.
I love that. You can have any clientele that you want, but you have to really understand who it is and what it is that they want from you. What is it that they're looking for? What problem are you solving for them? And how can you communicate that to the most number of people in that category?
Absolutely.
You're hugely successful. You're busy. I've seen you. You're a machine. What are some other ways that you have built your business and sustain your business?
Okay, so I'm going to talk about two things. One of them is asking for referrals. Sometimes we feel prideful that we don't want to ask people for referrals because it means we're not busy. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with asking people for referrals, but I'll do it very sincere. So I'll tell my client, I love doing your hair. If I had a book full of clients like you, this is the dream job. And so I'm sure that your friends and your family are like you. So do you have any friends or family that you can send to me because I'm trying to build my business? And I have to tell you, I don't offer a discount. I don't offer a referral discount. I decided that I was going to build this business without giving away anything for free. And I know that's a different mindset. When somebody is coming here, they're already expecting to pay. And quite honestly, people want to help you. When you ask for help, people really, they want you to be busy. They want to help.
That is so powerful and important for our pros to hear. Thank you.
Now, the next one, which is really honestly my favorite, is pre-booking. So I have the Gloss Genius app, and I love the number that tells you how much business you've booked that day. I believe that what gets tracked gets improved. So I love Gloss Genius for that reason, because not only can I see what I've booked for that day, I get to see exactly how much money I've made up until that very moment. And I track everything. I track every tip, everything, because I want to know exactly what I've made at the end of the year or at the end of the day or after a certain client. You know, I'll do little contests with myself, like, let's try to get that over this amount. When I have a client sitting in my chair and I'm pre-booking their appointment, the most important thing to do is either say, let's pre-book your next appointment so you can get the time that you want. Notice I'm not asking them. I feel like when, if you say, would you like to pre-book your next appointment or do you want to call? What we're doing is we're giving them an out. My motto is always, and I'm just going to say it the way I say it to myself, is shut up. So meaning that I don't would you like to pre-book your next appointment? Then I tell myself in my head, shut up. Meaning that don't give them a way to say no. They can come up with any reason that they want to say no, but I'm not going to give it to them. So for instance, you know, even when we sell products, like, would you like to take this home today? Or do you want to use what you have at home? Don't add that next thing. Just stop talking. I'll ask my clients, do you want to book your next appointment? Or let's book your next appointment because you like a certain time. I'm getting really busy. Now in the beginning, I wasn't busy. Quite honestly, they could have gotten in at any time, but I like to say that I was telling the truth for the future. So I'm going to be so busy that you have to book your next appointment if you're going to get into me. What I did is I created my own reality. I don't just book one appointment. I typically book 6 months in advance, or on my Saturday appointments, my Saturday people, they want their appointment on Saturdays. I will book it for the whole year. So what's important to me is I have to book my vacations and my time off at the beginning of the year.
This is all so great. Thank you so much for sharing this, because this is how I built my business. This is how I got busy. I had to rebuild my clientele at least 5 times that I can think of. And I employed a lot of these techniques that you're talking about. So thank you so much for sharing them. And I love that you pre-book. You know, there are a lot of salon coaches and a few people out there that are telling people to stop pre-booking, that pre-booking is an old school, out of date, out of fashion thing. And I'm listening to this saying, yeah, okay, I'm an older hairdresser, but are you crazy?
Right. And actually, I'd like to hear what their reason is. I would be open to hearing their reason.
Their reason assumes that your books are full. Some of the reasoning is that I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 3 months. I don't know what I'm going to be doing in 6 months. I don't want to commit to something that I might have to change later on. And I want to leave that time open for potentially new business. And I'm thinking, this is not right. Like, I want to be able to guarantee that I have business. I want to be able to guarantee, like you said, that they have the best time that they want. I want to see them again. I want to make sure that they can get in. I don't get it. I don't get that either.
But have different comfort levels. For me, I'm not comfortable when I see gaps in my books. I'm not comfortable when my client doesn't get the time that they want. I feel very uncomfortable. To me, I'm trying to get them into the time they want. I know they like Fridays at 3 o'clock every 5 weeks. So for me, it's like, I just book it.
Yeah. I also like seeing people that I know on my books, and I love new clients, but I also don't want 3 new clients in a day, because every single new client is a makeover. Right. And if I have 3 makeovers in one day, I'm not getting home till 8 o'clock that night. It's just not going to happen. So to me, actually pre-booking is freedom. What other advice do you have for building your business?
I would say that it's very important to look the part. I think that and this is when I'm going to just sound like an old person, but I think that we forgot to dress up. We forgot to do our hair. Sometimes people come to work without their makeup done. They come into work with tennis shoes. I always show up for work. If I have a new client, here's a perfect example. Sometimes we have a new client on our books, and so we dress a little better. We make sure our hair is done. And I believe that should be how we look every single day. I remember one day my son looked at me, and at the back of my head had a weird part. I don't, you know, maybe I hadn't washed it for a few days. And he goes, have you seen your hair? And I'm like, why? And he goes, you know, no one wants to go to a hairdresser that doesn't have nice hair. And I had to laugh, because those are words out of my mouth. I mean, that's what I always say. No one wants to go to a hairdresser that doesn't have good hair. So, and maybe that's just a silly thing, but I always show up for work. I'm always on time. It's not always easy. I make sure to book the amount of time. Here's the nice thing about pre-booking. If you have a client who takes you less time or more time because you pre-book, you know, you get to control your schedule. I pride myself on not running late. And I think that, you know, we were talking earlier about that really talented hairdresser that doesn't make it sometimes. Well, here's the thing is I'm never late. And so I don't know that I'm the best hairdresser. I just think I have great business skills.
You absolutely do. One of the things that you shared with me is that you are always telling people wherever you go that you are a hairdresser.
Yes. So because of that, it doesn't matter where I am. I think I told you that I started playing pickleball about a year ago. Here's the funny thing. I played pickleball one time and I loved it so much, I changed my hours. I just went in and I'm like, I'm getting off now at 5:30. So now I do not work past 5:30 anymore because I have to go play pickleball. The nice thing is that when you've built your clientele, you get to choose your hours. So my clients are not choosing them for me. So anyway, I started playing pickleball, and now, you know, when I play pickleball, either sometimes people will ask me about my hair, you you know, that happens a lot. Or, you know, I'll just tell them, oh, I just got off work. What do you do? I do hair. People, you know, as soon as people find out that you do hair, then they start asking some questions. And then it's, I can't believe how many clients I've gotten from pickleball. I've gotten clients from pickleball. I've gotten clients from my son's school. I mean, I still do clients when my son, like teachers of my son, since he was 2 years old. I just tell everybody, it changes the relationship that you have with those people too, because now it's like pickleball and I'm their hairdresser. So then we have something in common when they sit down in my chair. If I'm at the grocery store and somebody, you know, likes my hair, I tell them I do hair. People are always, when they hear that you do hair, you know, sometimes people say I'm an engineer and they're like, oh, okay. But when you say I'm a hairdresser, typically people will always have a story for you. And that's just a really great way to start a conversation.
Isn't that wonderful? People light up when you say I'm a hairdresser.
They really do. They really do.
I think that this also goes to something that I always say is that people are looking for you. They may not know who you are yet. They may not know where to find you or what you do, but they're looking for someone just like you. Help them find you. Help them build that relationship.
And I also feel like you may talk to somebody who loves their hairdresser, and I think that's great. They've been with their hairdresser for a long time, and I also think that's great. I'll still talk to them about hair because there may be a time where that hairdresser decides to leave or the person that I'm talking to can't get in. So they may call me for that reason. And, you know, maybe I never see them in my chair. It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I just want to spread the joy and have people see this industry. When they see someone who's happy with their career, I want them to see that as well.
Let me ask you about the business side of things. What are some things that you have learned that you wish you had known earlier on in your career?
Again, remember I said I repeated the first year of business 8 times. I wish that I had learned early that probably 80% of my success was going to be business skills and 20% was going to be hair. We probably spend 80% of our education on our techniques and 20% on business, when really the business part will help us to be more successful. So I wish I had known that part. You have to be a good hairdresser, of course. Get your education at that, but don't forget to get your business education. I wish, you know, I could tell my younger self, like, stop being so fearful of things because everything can be changed. When I would have assistants and they would mess up on color, I would say, congratulations. You don't do anything in this business without making a bunch of mistakes. It's only really a mistake if you didn't learn from it. So how can that be done better? You know, I think that if I had embraced my mistakes more and been less fearful, I would have built my clientele faster. But I guess, you know, I wasn't ready at the time.
Making mistakes is a part of this. And the biggest roadblock to success that I see is fear. And even when it comes to these practical things that you've been talking about, pre-booking and retail and referrals, the reason they aren't being done is because people are afraid. The people are afraid of rejection, even though it's not personal.
It's not personal. That's what you have to remember. It is not personal.
I always tell people, it isn't about you. It's about them. You're not on trial. You're not on audition. You're just trying to solve a problem for them. You're trying to help them. And if they don't want it, they'll just tell you no. But it's no reflection on you whatsoever. But fear is the biggest factor.
Where do you see hairdressers being fearful? Because I'll, you know, give my own input also.
I always say that being in this industry, whether it's hairdressing or nail art or aesthetics, we want to be liked so much and that our ego is on the line every single time we do anything because we really want them to like the work that we've done and we really want them to like us.
Ooh, that's a good. Do you think that sometimes people are fearful about raising their prices because somebody won't like them if they raise their prices?
Yes, they're afraid of raising their prices. They're afraid of recommending retail because they're afraid of being pushy. They're afraid of pre-booking because they're afraid that the client's going to think they're being pushy. They're afraid of all of these things that we've talked about because they feel like if the client says no, that it is a reflection on them as a person.
That makes sense.
Prices really gets to the heart and soul, to the gut of that fear, because it has to do with perceived value.
Absolutely.
And so people are afraid of raising their prices because they, deep down inside, they're saying, what if the client doesn't think that I am worth it?
Ooh, that's deep.
So I know you have some strong feelings in advice on raising prices. How do you address those?
First off, you have to get rid of the fear of raising your prices. And I think that you just put a new spin on it. It really, I never thought about it as, not feeling like we're good enough. I hear when people raise their prices, they say, well, my clients won't pay it. My client will leave. If you don't feel like you're doing a good service, or if you don't feel like you're doing a good color, then maybe you're afraid that they're going to leave. But you know that you are. If someone is not raising their prices, then they're not keeping up with inflation. So they're actually making less money. So you're having to do more clients and you're having to do work to make the same amount of money. I have a little bit different of an idea of when to raise prices. I raise prices when I want clients to go away. I want to lose them. And the reason I say that is if I'm getting so busy that I don't have the extra few minutes to maybe do an add-on service or even to do new clients, because like new clients, even though maybe we don't want to do three in a day, we still want to have new clients because it's new energy. When we raise our prices, typically the ones that we want to keep are the ones that really do end up staying because they see our value. I raise my prices to let people go away so that I can bring in new clients who are willing to pay the new prices. They've never had an old price and a new price. They've only had the new price. And so it just gives me new energy for my business. I'm not afraid to raise my prices because if I get some gaps, I know how to build a business. So either I go back to Yelp, I go back to asking for referrals. I have gotten to the point where sometimes, I can't take a new person. And we want to take new people, but I'm too busy to. And so that's when I know it's time to raise my prices. I also think it's important that when we're in an independent business now. I mean, I'm in control of my environment, but I still want to make sure that when I do have a referral or if I do have a new client that I can't get in, I refer them to somebody here at Image Studios because I want my friends to be successful also. The thing I love about Image Studios is how open everything is. You know how busy everyone is. When I can watch and help somebody else build their business, it inspires me and it makes me realize why I'm in this industry. It's not just for myself.
Isn't that wonderful? I'd love being able to be inspired by other people. And I will tell you, being at the corporate office, we take design very seriously. And those spaces are designed to be collaborative. They're designed to create community and promote well-being for our pros that are in those spaces. So thank you for saying that about the space
Oh,
and
let me
sharing.
add a little to that because after I sold my salon, I went to another salon suite company and everything was very closed. And when I came here, it has such a different environment in the sense that I feel like I work in a salon because these people are my friends. I feel like I can still learn things from the people that are around me because we'll like peek in and say, oh, what are you doing? We'll sometimes, we're looking at different techniques. We're looking at, people, we're asking questions of each other. And so it really does have the environment of feeling like a salon, but being independent. And I think that that's incredibly unique.
One of the things I admire about you is this focus on the client and the relationship that you have with each of them. And you mentioned something to me offline about what a gift that is with each person. Would you care to share the story that you shared with me?
I think I just started to get emotional. I was going home to make soup for one of my clients. And the reason for it was because I had confirmed his appointment for today. And he has stage 4 pancreatic cancer. And he sent me a message saying he could not make his appointment because he'd take a turn for the worse. And not knowing what I could do to help, I said, can I make you soup? Can I bring you food? And so that's what I'm going to do when we're finished today. I'm going to bring that to him. And it might be a gift to me to be able to say goodbye to him because so often we don't get to. I am getting emotional. If you've been in this business for any sort of time, you will lose a client because they die. And what people, their family don't realize is that they sometimes forget to tell us. They forget to tell the hairdresser because we're just the hairdresser, but we're not. We're not just the hairdresser. When I see a client every 4 to 6 weeks and I spend 1 to 2 hours with them, that's more time than I spend with my best friend. And yes, this is business, but reality is you get to know people. You know who they like in their family, who they don't like. You know that they hate it that so and so brings this dish to Christmas every year. We know all the things that they can't tell people in the real world. They can't tell their family that they really don't like this person. And so when they pass, it's emotional for us because, I'm talking a lot about, business, building our business, but, there is also a huge emotional connection that we get with our clients. So anyway, that's what I'll be doing when we leave here, is I'll be bringing him soup.
It's such a gift to be able to hold that space for other people. People over the years would say to me, oh, being a hairdresser is like being a therapist. And I would push back, like, I am not a therapist. I don't want that responsibility. But I think where the comparison lies is being able to hold space for people.
And we're a safe place for them to share.
Absolutely. I had a coincidentally a client a few years ago whose husband had pancreatic cancer. And she came in for her appointment on a hard day and started to cry. And she said, I'm so sorry I didn't come in here to unload on you, but I can't talk to him about what I'm going through. And I can't talk to my children about what I'm going through because I need to be there for them. I don't have anyone to hear me.
What a
And
beautiful moment
that.
we're able to experience with her. I can see it. I can hear it in your voice.
It was a very humbling moment, but
Oh, you're making me cry. Oh, you're cute. I know, I get it. I mean, yes. This is the part, like, you and I being so focused on business, this is the other side. And that's why it's so easy to love what we do. I don't know about you, but there's never a day where I think I don't want to go to work today. There might be a day where I just don't feel like picking out an outfit, but I never want to not come to work. I love this. And 36 years later, I love this.
we talked about this offline, but we go through life with these people.
Yeah.
I watch them, I watch their kids grow up. I had clients that were 4 and 5 years old when I did their hair the first time, and now they're married and living in DC. And like,
Right? Yes.
so it's incredible. And we age with these people, we grow old with
The
these
funny part is I
people.
never think that I'm the one aging. I always think it's them, but I guess I am too.
It is wonderful. It's a wonderful business to be in, to have these relationships, to hold this space for people, to be this creative, to have a party every day with people that you really enjoy, and to make money at it.
And that's just it. We make money doing the best thing. I mean, the most enjoyable thing that we can.
So, what does the future look like for you? What's next?
Well, here's the funny part is that I had a huge financial goal last year, and I was so focused on that goal, I really couldn't see anything else. The last day of December that I worked last year, I made the goal by $300. That was it, 300. And so this year, even though I will always have a financial goal, I made the financial goal less. And I did so because I need to enjoy life a little bit more. When I go on vacation, I want to take an extra day to see wherever it is that we're going. I don't want to worry that I need to be back here working. My goal for myself really is to take a little bit more time for me.
What other parts of your life bring you the most joy and happiness?
And that is my son. He is 15. He's actually probably the most frustrating, but the most joyful thing in my life. He's the best thing that I have ever done. Because I was working for Redken and I was traveling the world and I was teaching hairdressers, I never wanted a child. When I got pregnant, I thought, you know what? This is the next step. And I don't want to breathe a breath on this earth without him. He's the most amazing thing that I have ever done. What I hope that I'm doing is I hope that I'm showing him what a strong woman looks like and how to be a hard worker, because I share these things with him. I love getting his advice on, this client did this or this client did that. And I do that because I want to see what his views are. He is the thing that gives me the most joy. He's also 15, so it's also frustrating, but I love that kid. And I know you said that was the last question, but I'm going to put it back onto you. I'm going to ask you the same question.
I would have to say I do a gratitude journal every morning, and it's always my husband and our dog. I have worked hard to be in the place that I want to be, worked hard on myself. And it took me a long time to learn how to love other people and be loved in return. And he brings me that every day. And of course, our dogs as well. So just being here with them, that's enough. Well, Julie, thank you so much. This has been a wonderful time together, and I cannot wait to do it again in the future.
Oh, I think that we're going to have to do it again in the future because it's just way too much fun to be around you.
Oh, I feel the same way.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me for this episode of the VIP Suite. I'm Matthew Landis, and I hope you found the insights and inspiration shared today truly valuable for your journey as a solo entrepreneur and independent beauty, health, or wellness professional. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at ImageStudios360, and if you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe to the VIP Suite on your favorite podcast platform so you never miss an opportunity to connect with our vibrant community and to discover more incredible stories and strategies. We love hearing from our listeners, so if you have any questions, topic suggestions, or want to share your own success story, feel free to reach out to me at Matthew@ImageStudios360.com. Remember, dear listener, you are the heartbeat of the beauty, health, and wellness industry. Your dedication and passion make the world a better place, one client at a time. Keep shining, keep growing, and keep making a positive impact. We'll be back with more engaging conversations and valuable content in our next episode. Until then, take care, stay inspired, and continue to create your own VIP Suite. For more information about becoming a part of the Image Studios luxury salon suite community, visit our website at ImageStudios360.com.